short of a weird face, kind of unattractive.
Yeah.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
Come on. Let's wake up.
With Jason Ross.
He is wise.
The only local sports talk show that helps you get through your morning commute. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
All right. Final hour of the program. And Bobby Jackson's going to be joining us. Now, Bobby Jackson's not sitting across from us yet, and I'm going to stand in front of Bobby for two reasons. Number one, it's only 7:58. Okay, 8 o'clock was the time. But I imagine Bobby, I just texted with him. He's pulling in, so he'll be here momentarily. But here's the thing. It's not Bobby's fault. Bobby has not come in studio with us since we were in the old building.
Did he go to the old studio?
So I think Bobby kind of went halfway to the new building. That's what he texted me earlier. He said, I just want to make sure you're still, you know, over at the old building.
Wow.
So Bobby was actually set to be early.
That's what, like 5 years ago?
God, I want to say like.
I started here.
It can't be 5 years.
Well, I started here 4 years ago in June.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, and I didn't work in the Madison building, so.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, about 5 years, and it might be longer with Bobby, because it's not like this guy's come in studio a ton, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
So it might have been even longer than that. We'll have to ask him. And all week long, we will be revisiting the 2002 year, the 20th anniversary. Want to remind you, our partners on this one, Power Business Technology, please visit them at powercopiers.com, and Two Rivers Roofing. Visit them online at Two Rivers Roofing. Inc. That's Two Rivers Roofing INC.com. We see all your guys' info on the text line about the Republic stuff. Jay will be taking all your info, and we'll be working on you getting ticks here shortly. Hold on. Jay, say something, because I got to text Bobby here.
Say something. I'm giving up on you.
Do me a favor.
What do you why don't you just read your text out loud?
Bobby's saying he's out front, but nobody.
I thought Scott was letting
him in.
Yeah,
so did I, and I think he is. That we might be at different entrances. You want to?
Oh my gosh, darn.
You want to coordinate that?
Sure.
No,
bye. Hey, can you cover for me?
I got you. Just want to make sure Bobby can get in. See, Doug used to work here. Doug's got a key card. You got to go through like 9 security entrances to get up to the studio. We're very well protected up here, and poor Coach Bobby Jackson's downstairs trying to get up here. So Bobby's going to join us literally in like 1 minute. And just to preview, if you didn't listen yesterday, and what a wonderful conversation, by the way, and our thanks again to Doug Christie. I really, really enjoyed that conversation. The goal is not to be like, oh, man, remember game 6? Oh, and then game 7. Like, we'll hit the Kings-Lakers series. But the goal is really just to, we understand that when we think of 2002, most of us, we think about the Lakers series. What we should think about more is the run to that series, beating Utah, beating Dallas, winning all those games. You know what I'm saying? Like winning 60-plus games and just how adorably amazing that team was. And they weren't just good. They were good and fun and personality and they loved Sacramento, and they loved the fans, and it was just a love fest for those of you. And I understand that some people listening right now have no idea. They were 4, 8, maybe not even born yet. Sadly, we have adults, legal adults listening to us right now that were not born. That were not born when this happened. So the idea is not, oh man, there we go. The idea is not to, we're not going to, as I said, all week long, sit back and, you know, be sad and all that stuff and, you know, whatever. We really are having fun like we did with Doug. And speaking of fun, joining us right now. Wow, they got it moving all over the place, or choreographing like a dance or something. The man, the myth, the legend, sixth man of the year, Sports Illustrated cover model, the head coach of your Stockton Kings And Bobby, I know it's a thing to get up, get down here. You got your coffee and all that. I speak for everybody listening, the fans. It's amazing to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming in, and good morning.
Good morning, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
How's your golf game?
It's up and down. Yesterday I had the yips.
Did you? You going right or left?
I was right. I was shanking everything yesterday.
Really?
That never happens, but.
No. Nah. You've worked very hard.
I just walked off the golf course by out there.
Did you?
Yeah, I walked, and I never get frustrated.
Sure.
So I just walked off the golf course.
How many holes in?
No, I was just practicing.
Oh, you were just doing it.
I was just practicing. Oh. So, and I was like, man, I can't get it right. I don't know what I was doing. I've never had that, but.
Now, how long are you going to go until you go back out to the range? You take a few days off, go right back out today?
I'll probably go back out today.
Okay. Because you've worked really hard. Now, you work with Tom Morton a lot, mm-hmm. too, and that's who I work with. He's had success with you, unfortunately not at all with me, Doug as well. And, you know, I played with you back in the day, and you were a fine golfer. You were a fine, averagey kind of, you know, you'd hit the ball a ton. And then I played with you since, and it's like, oh, my God. Yeah. You're a stick now, dude.
I've been putting in the work.
Yeah.
Putting in the
work. Your 300-yard drive is not foreign to you at all. You'll smack that ball.
I mean, occasionally I can, but, you know, I don't do it every single time. So,
What's your offseason been like? Congratulations, by the way. I know it was a while back on the Summer League win, of course.
Thank you very much.
And then
your
season with the G League. Have you gotten to the point where you think of yourself less as a player, more as a coach now? Are you there yet?
Oh yeah, I've been had that mindset.
Yeah,
yeah. Just because I've been in the coaching aspect for a few years now, and now I'm looking at the game at a different perspective. You know,
sure.
As I did as a player, so definitely I have a coach's mentality and a mindset, and how I approach it every single day. So my biggest thing is just trying to help these guys get better.
Yeah,
and be great performers when they step on the floor.
I have a theory about coaches, and I hope this comes off like it should, which is a tremendous compliment to you. Generally, I've seen superstar players generally don't make great coaches, and you were a star player. I know, right? Like, well, Bobby, you scrub, you didn't. No, like, you were a star player, but I always felt like you weren't the guy jumping out of the gym. You weren't the guy that had, like, the LeBron Giannis type of talent. You were a guy that combined your talent with your work ethic and your basketball IQ, and you maximized all of your abilities into being the fantastic player you became. And I feel like that helps. That might help you coaching, because you can like Michael Jordan's like, I don't know, just do it. I did it. Whereas you can be like, no, this is what I did, A, B, C, and D, and you can help explain to the players more how to get there.
Yeah, I think.
And if I'm full of garbage, just say that.
I haven't looked at it in that mindset.
Okay.
But if you do look at the coaches that's coaching now, and you do make a really good point, the coaches that's coaching now wasn't really great all-stars, and they wasn't NBA poster guys.
Sure.
You know, Tyronn Lue wasn't. Udoka wasn't.
Right.
Who else is it out there?
I mean, you got a ton of guys.
Monty.
Right. Steve Kerr, even.
Yeah, Steve Kerr. So you look at it and you say, and it may be some truth to that, because, you know, most guys as high-profile players, you really can't tell them anything.
Sure.
And with coaching, you got to be really humble.
Yeah.
And so most of those guys are not humble, and they're arrogant. And you know, you got to be – to be successful, you got to have that mindset. But coaching is a totally different realm that you got to step into that box, and you got to check them all.
Sure, sure.
You got to be able to check all those boxes. You know, you got to be able to, you know, engage your players.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to create a competitive environment. You got to be able to manage your athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to come up with great practice plans and offensive and defensive philosophies. So there's a lot that you have to do to maintain that success as a coach.
You've been on the bench in the NBA. You've been in the front of the, you know, ahead of the bench in the G League coaching these guys. Is it a lot different coaching when you're coaching guys, like you're in the NBA, like everyone's a millionaire. Everyone was a star in college. And, you know, you're in the G League, and a lot of these guys, like, they're not, that's as high as they're going to get. A lot of these guys are just grinding and grinding and grinding. Isn't it, are they more humble? Or are they easier to coach in the G League?
I think it depends on the character.
Sure.
You know, I love and enjoy coaching guys and giving them the aspect of being great every day they step in the gym. And I'm that way. Sure. I want to be criticized. I want you to tell me when I'm doing something wrong and so I can correct it. So I've had a great group of young guys that's really opened themselves up to allow me to coach them.
And then it had to be a lot of fun, too, Summer League last year. Obviously, you know, you won Summer League, and that was fun. But just having that mixture of guys and then being able to, with the guys that were in the G League, carry that kind of over into the season, that had to be a blast for you.
Man, it was great.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, you never know what to expect when you walk out there and when you start to put things together. You know, and I give a lot of success to my assistant coaches because, you know, I kind of put a lot on their shoulders, mm-hmm. you know. And for me, I'm the type of coach I want, if I can't allow you to grow and elevate your coaching style and my philosophy, why are you here? So I right. give them a lot of responsibility because that's what I think coaching is on top of what I'm doing. So I allow my guys to grow. I allow them to have their own voice, but I allow them to perfect their craft that guys can see them in that coaching aspect that allows them to give them confidence as well.
Bobby Jackson in the studio with us till 9 as we look back on 2002, and we'll get to that year in a second. Real quick aside, my daughter, as random, but with you coming in today, my daughter asked me last night, I said, Daddy, have you ever lived anywhere but Sacramento? And I said, you know, I've actually lived in two places. I've lived in Omaha, Nebraska, and I've lived in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people know that you went to Minnesota.
Yes.
A lot of people forget that wasn't your first school.
No.
Yeah, your first school was in Western Nebraska.
Western Nebraska, yes.
Beautiful yeah. Scotts Bluff, Nebraska.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And you were there for what, a couple years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there for 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah, because I tore my ACL my first day of practice.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had the red shirt that year.
Okay. Then you went, and then you
– Then I came back, and I did – 2 more years mm-hmm. because I had medical rest. I probably could have left after that sophomore season.
Sure.
But I didn't have the offers that I really wanted.
Right.
So I just stayed another year. But that's kind of unheard of that
no,
somebody goes to JUCO. It was like a red shirt college year anyway for me.
And then, I mean, just despite the amazing nightlife in Scotts Bluff, you left there. Well, you go to Minnesota, and her question was, is it really as cold as people say in Minnesota? I said,
need to take her.
I got nosebleeds in Minnesota. I never get nosebleeds. I got nosebleeds. It was so cold.
Oh, you need to take her, man. You need to go back there for a winter.
When you can,
let her experience it.
When you don't see the sun for 6 straight months?
Yeah. I mean, you see the sun. It's just cold, man.
High's -4.
Yeah,
well, I went out there because you're from North Carolina. I mean,
yes.
I went out there, and you're seeing, like, here, if your car breaks down, they're like, hey, call AAA or USAA, come on out. And out there, I'm watching on the news, like, the second day I was there, and they're like, well, you know, and remember, like, if your car breaks down, you could die. So make sure you have this bag of things. I was like, oh, my God, I'm in a different place now.
Number one, your car shouldn't be outside.
No,
it should not be outside because it's definitely not going to start up and it's definitely probably going to break down because that coldness, that minus degree weather, temperature is going to definitely
insane.
Cut your car off.
California's much better weather.
It is. It's expensive. That's why you said
that's very true.
It's expensive as well. So
we're going to start heading back in the time machine 2002, 20 years later. Bobby Jackson in studio with us. In the meantime, let me tell you about my friends at Hoblet Dodge, the Memorial Day sales event going on right now. Up to $7,500 off MSRP on the new 2022 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cabs. Over 50 available. J.D. Power's Customer First Award winners for excellence since 2019 and the number one Ram truck in J.D. Power's initial quality study. Yes, that's right. The Dodge Ram. Dozens of brand new vehicles arriving each and every day. No hassle, no pressure. Every dealership at Hoblet. It's the best prices, best selection, period. Visit them at HobletDodge.com. Bobby Jackson in studio when we get back. Oh, no, we're not taking a break. That's right. We're coming right back. Oh, my goodness gracious.
That okay. was the break.
That was the break. Jeez, Dave, read your sheet. Okay. So when they first said to me, Bobby, they said, hey, we're gonna do a couple weeks and we're going to celebrate the 20th anniversary of 2002. My first thought was, celebrate? What are you talking about? Celebrate? Like, every time I think about 2002, my heart breaks. And then I had Doug in yesterday, and I said, Doug, when you think about 2002, you know, what kind of feelings do you have? And it was all positive. Obviously, there were negatives at the end, but he kind of made a really good point that we just remember, you know, the Robert Horry shot and the Smoky Walker shot and Game 7 and Game 6 and blah, blah, blah. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about Utah or Dallas. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about going on TNT and just punking other teams. We don't think about, you know, the January where you guys didn't lose. When you think about that 2002 squad, does that bring pain to your heart or does that bring a smile to your face?
I don't think about it unless somebody brings it up.
Yeah, I find that's very common, too, with everybody but fans like us.
I think there's mixed emotions.
Yeah.
Number one, being blessed to be able to get to that pinnacle of my career and have that much success. And then the heartbreak.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing, you know. Going game seven and losing and possibly being cheated.
Possibly.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a lot of heartbreak, but I think at the end of the day.
27 free throws in the fourth quarter, but we won't dwell on that for the Lakers. It was also the best time in the history of the Sacramento Kings when it comes to the team, the winning, the culture. And Doug corrected me on that, too. I'm curious what you think. I said culture. I said, you know, it's where Bobby Jackson shows up and excels and has the best years of his career, where Scott Pollard shows up, has the best years of his career, Vernon Maxwell, John Barry, the list goes on and on of people that show up, and it's like you find a home in Sacramento. And Doug said, you know what? People say culture. And he goes, culture's fine, but he goes, culture comes from the environment. And he said, we had the environment that allowed culture to grow. You agree with that?
Yeah. I think he hit it on the head. Mm-hmm. I think, number one, that came from Jeff Petrie and rest in peace, Wayne Cooper.
Yeah.
You know, two masterminds that put a really good team together. And they put us together, and now we knew how to step on the floor. And as pros, we kind of interacted with each other. We took our craft very seriously, and we understood what we needed to get done. And then our friendship and our bond on and off the court was amazing.
There are stories that you guys going at it in practice, that quote, second team would have beaten a lot of NBA teams, that you guys were just ruthless in a lot of your practices. Is that accurate?
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah, it was like pickup basketball.
Yeah.
You know, and I was probably the ringleader because I was talking so much trash to everybody.
Sure.
And I think that was the one thing that allowed us to be successful was our bench unit. We came in and we provided so much energy and effort every single night. And as you can recall, when Mike went down, mm-hmm. when Paige went down, yeah. when Doug went down, or Webb went down, all those guys kind of stepped in and picked up the slack.
Sure.
And we didn't lose anything there. So I just think, you know, the mastermind of Jeff Petrie and Wayne Cooper putting that team together on top of Rick Adelman with his brilliancy as a coach that allowed us to be players and put us in great situations to be successful on the floor, it was just a jigsaw puzzle that all came together at the right time.
You know, I wonder if this applies. Johnny Carson's maybe the most successful late-night talk show host, and one of the things about him they always said was he knew when to step back and let the guests perform and shine, and that he would put them in a position to succeed, to be funny, to stand out, whatever. But he knew when to be hands-on and hands-off. And I've often thought of Rick Adelman in that capacity, where you're talking about your practices, you're talking about keeping people accountable, going at it. It seemed like Rick was really good at understanding when he needed to coach and when he needed to not coach.
Yeah, and that's something that I battle with.
Sure.
You know, because sometimes you got to know, you got to get a pulse of your team. Mm-hmm. And I think Rick did that very well. He wasn't a high communicator. He wasn't a yeller. But, you know, he was explaining things to you. And if you did it, you played. If you didn't, you didn't play. Mm. So, and then he wasn't a big guy. He wanted you to figure out the game yourself. He didn't want the coaches to tell you.
Sure.
You know, and maybe in film, he'd be like, hey, we got to do this better. Or you got to take this. You got your passing, your attentiveness, and your attention to detail got to be no, more locked in. So he allowed us as coaches, I mean, as players, mm-hmm. to figure the game out. And that's something that I got to figure out how to do, because now it's just a different breed of generation that you kind of got to walk them through, and they yeah. got to pay attention to detail. Back then, we was students of the game, and we watched a lot of film. Now, there's so many of the distractions
sure.
off the court
yes.
that when they come into work, it's like they're thinking about making money off the floor
right.
or playing video games or Instagram or yeah. TikTok. So it's just so many distractions right now. But as a coach, you got to find the pulse of your team, which allows them to grow as pros as well.
Do you find yourself drawn on Coach Adelman? You're not the same person, I understand that, but drawn on what he did and trying to use some of that in your coaching now.
Yeah, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. I think you take a lot of things from a lot of great guys that has put you in great positions to be successful. And I would be crazy if I didn't take a couple of Rick Alderman's sets, mm-hmm. his demeanor, his words of encouragement, his coaching style, his coaching philosophy, you know. And I think I would be crazy not to do that.
You were in your, fourth year when you came to Sacramento. You'd been with Denver and Minnesota twice. You know, the famous story is Chris Webber cried on the plane when he got traded from Washington out here, and his dad had to call him and say, hey, listen, you know, you're going to play, and you need to shut up and play. And obviously that ended up fantastic. I'm curious, when you came to Sacramento, were you excited? Were you worried? What was your thought of Sacramento when you first arrived on the scene?
Oh, man.
I mean, I know we're going back a little.
Yeah, we're going way back. I mean, I was excited when I signed here.
Okay.
You know, because it was a long-term deal, you know, and I had some stability. The team had went to the playoffs the year prior before.
Sure.
So I was super excited to get started, you know. And I always tell people this. When I first got in the league and we came to play downtown and I was with the Denver Nuggets, and I was like, oh, man. We stayed right there at the Hyatt.
Yep.
It wasn't no nightlife. Wasn't nothing going on. And I was like, man, I could never live in Sacramento.
The bus coming from the airport, it's all fields and farms.
Oh, man, it was bad. Uh-huh. This was in 97.
Yeah.
So 2000,
uh-huh.
3 years later, three, 4 years later.
There you are.
I'm signing my first deal.
Sure.
With the Sacramento Kings, and I was one of those guys. I said, like, I would never live there. I would never play there.
Right.
I've been here 22 years later.
22 years.
So, moral of the story, shut up.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, have you now lived in Sacramento longer than you've lived in any other city in your life? I think so, huh?
I have.
Okay, and Doug is here, and Brad is here. There's so many ex-players that are from all over the country, the world, that make their homes here. Mm-hmm. How did Sacramento grab? Yeah, and I'm a native Sacramentan, so I'm always fascinated by this. I know a lot of it was your job, but
yeah.
Eventually it grabbed you.
It did grab me.
Yeah,
you know, I think what grabbed me. You know, I got married here, mm-hmm. had kids here, but the city has been great to me.
Yep,
you know, and I give back to a lot of
yes,
different
do.
Organizations and. I do a lot of work in the community, so
you don't know how to say no.
No, I don't.
I know
that's
this.
Probably that's my biggest thing.
Yeah,
you
which
know?
Is probably why you're here today. It's the same thing. You don't know how to say no.
That's my biggest thing. You know, my heart is filled with gold,
yep.
and I have a passion of just being a humble person that allows himself to help people out, and I get that from my mom. She was the same way.
Sure.
So I've tried to pass that on to my kids, but I don't think that's working at all. But it's a great thing. It's yeah. a great character to have.
Yeah.
You know, when you can wake up every day and you can be able to go bless other people's lives that's less fortunate, or just be able to show up and have a great day and sure. talk sports and yep. be here with you. I think that's what life is about, you know, yep. not regretting anything every day that you wake up.
We're going to talk a little bit more about the humility when we get back and how that factored into Bobby's participation and how he was one of the main cogs behind that 2002 team. As we continue to remember 20 years ago with our good friend Bobby Jackson in studio, we'll be back in 4 minutes.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Sports 1140 KHTK.
The off-air conversations are always a fun part, too. Bobby Jackson, in fact, I'll share it with you guys. We were talking about all the camps he's got coming up. I want to plug that, too. And by the way, for the record, and this is why Bobby's so great, Bobby didn't ask us to plug any of this. We're like, Bobby, can we talk about anything? He came in here. You know, he's like, yeah, well, you know, I got these camps going on. I'm working with these kids. You got a lot of – I want to make sure this is right. First off, the website is BJBA. That's like Bobby Jackson Basketball, BJBA.com, BJBASAC.com,
yes.
or BJBasketballAcademy.com. I'm looking at it right now. And, I mean, you got stuff going on this week, as a matter of fact, tomorrow. Kindergarten, third grade skills and drills, fourth and eighth grade skills and drills, all kinds of stuff. You got camps coming up as well, which obviously we'll talk about. So you're always coaching.
I'm always in the gym, man. It's my passion, my love, so it's what drives me.
There's something cool about working with the kids, though, right?
It is. Like, especially getting somebody, a beginner.
Yeah.
And then you see the elevation of their game start sure. to take different strides, whether it's ball handling, mm-hmm. whether it's shooting, whether it's your posture, whether it's mechanics, fundamentals. So that's what I thrive on. Like, getting somebody that doesn't know how to dribble
mm-hmm.
and then teaching them how to dribble. Getting somebody that don't know how to shoot and then giving them the skills and the mechanics to allow them to become really good shooters. That's what I thrive on.
Well, it's more rewarding or fun, or maybe it's in their own ways. The coaching the kid that has absolutely no conscience, will shoot from anywhere. He is a gunner of gunners. Or the kid that you can tell he didn't have confidence. You see it in practice, but then in the games, he didn't want to shoot. He didn't want to be that guy. Which one do you have more fun honing?
Oh, that's a good question. Thank Nobody's you. Never asked me that question before.
Yeah, that's why I get paid to be.
I would probably say the kid that doesn't have the confidence to shoot.
Yeah.
You know, I think as motivators, you got to find ways to give him confidence to go out on the floor
yep.
to allow himself to be successful. I think that's the hardest. That's the hardest for a coach
yeah.
or individual that's coaching basketball. You know, how can you motivate this kid mm-hmm. to believe him in himself and give him the confidence to go out there to be successful? Now, a guy that shoots every ball,
sure,
that's easy.
Yeah,
you can just sit him down.
Right.
Now, a person that doesn't have that confidence,
yeah.
like you, that confidence is already not there. So now you got to build it up.
Sure. 100%.
And with the guy that loves to shoot, you just got to be able, you can sit him down and tell him and show him
you gotta relax.
More than anything, you got to relax. Right. But that, yeah. I think that's a really good question. Nobody's ever asked me that.
Is that a hard thing to do as a coach, though, at that level? Do you have guys that, and you don't got to name names, obviously, that you've had to sit down because it's like, yo, we don't need you jacking up shots.
When
right
you say
now.
That level, are you talking about G League
yeah,
level?
Yeah, yeah, I'm
kid?
Talking
okay.
about now.
Like
yeah. I said, we don't need to name names.
Right. But you yeah, can if you
I,
want.
I think there, I mean, guys coming in as a basketball player, you come in with confidence.
Yeah.
And you come in and you're trying to improve and sure. show what you can do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've had to tell a handful of guys, like, yo, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That ain't what I want.
Right.
That's not what's best for the team.
Team game.
Team you know, game. So.
But yeah. guys want to try to get there sometimes, right? They're looking at stat sheets.
Yeah, it is. Guys, that's the bad thing about the G League because, yeah. I mean, it's not a bad thing, but it's also a great thing because everybody's trying to get to the NBA.
Yeah.
And the only way you get to the NBA is by success.
Right.
Playoff wins, making to the playoffs, team wins, being one or two top teams in the league.
Sure.
So there's a method that comes behind all that. And there are steps that you got to take You know, and it's called sacrifice.
Right.
You know, consistency. You know, team bonding. You know, playing the right style of basketball that fits us and not that doesn't fit you.
Sure.
So as a coach, you got to break all these things down, and that accountability comes within the practices and the games.
You know, when we're talking about the 2002 team, and again, team is always the thing that is most stressed about this squad, was how great you guys were as a unit. And we hear so much about, obviously, the big-name players on the team, but how important were guys like Brent Price, Mateen Cleaves, Chucky Brown, when it came to how you guys developed chemistry and how that translated onto the court for guys that didn't see a lot of minutes?
I want to ask Bobby this as a tail to your question, because we argued about this.
Yes.
I once said that Mateen Cleaves and waving the towel. What was it that I said? I said something. I was
best like, towel waver in the league or something.
And he was like, you're being disrespectful. And, you know, it was a fun argument. But you said, you're being disrespectful. I said, I said, no. I have all the respect in the world for Mateen Cleaves because he was on the bench. He didn't get a lot of minutes. I said, every team should have a Mateen Cleaves who was a superstar at Michigan State. And then he comes to the NBA, he's on that Sacramento team, and he's waving the hell out of that towel. He's not always in the game, but he's finding a way. Bobby's like, damn it. He's finding a way. I really convinced myself. He's finding a way to involve himself in the game and pump up his teammates, and I respect that. And he thought I was being – can you see how I'm not being disrespectful? I don't want to lead the witness. I thought he's a great teammate.
That's not how you. That is not how you framed it.
That's kind of how I. That's what I meant.
Tell a grown ass man he's a great towel waver. That's how you take it well.
Yeah, that's. Okay. I've come into this interview. I haven't heard a lot of the things that you've been saying, Carmichael.
I'm saying
he's a great towel waver.
He could be slinking down at the end of the bench and calling his agent every day and saying, "Man, get me out of here. Yeah, I don't want to go in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left," and you see that, and he is up, and he's engaged, and he's patting people on the butts.
Let me reframe this whole question for Bobby. Bobby, it's the end of your career, and someone writes about you, says, "Man, that Bobby Jackson, nobody waved a towel like Bobby Jackson."
That is not.
How are you taking that?
Leading the witness, sir.
Oh, wow.
That is leading.
That's
the witness.
You don't want to be characterized as a great towel waver.
I understand that.
And Mateen was a good teammate of mine.
Hell of a teammate.
Brent was a good teammate. And they, like, I think everybody serves their purposes when you come in the league.
Right.
And to their who they are and to their characters, they're great guys. And number one, they worked hard just as well as we did.
Sure.
Well, unfortunately, everybody can't play.
Right.
You know, and there got to be those 12th, 13th, and 14th guys that, you know, bring the spirit of the team up.
No, you shot with Gerald Wallace on those teams. He couldn't get on the floor.
Couldn't get in the game.
He goes on to be, he's an all-star.
Yeah. And that just showed you how deep we were as a team and as an organization when we had guys that couldn't really play here. He don't had to get out of the shoes of Pasia.
Yep.
You know, and he was really, really good. And I was like, man, this, like, we're going to miss him.
Sure.
He was really, really good. But that came from Jeff and Wayne and them putting this team together for so many years that allowed us to compete at a high level.
The Bobby Jackson Basketball Academy Summer Grind, that's the camp, coming up, let's see, June 20th to 23rd, out of Sleep Train as well, BJBASAC.com. Discount code SUMMER2022 right there. Save yourself some money. I get my son out to that. My son's one of the... My son's jumper is wet, let me tell you right now. Is
what he get that from?
Not me, his mother.
His mother?
Can promise you he got it from his mother. His jumper is wet. He does.
How old is he?
He is 13. He'll be 14 in October.
So where he go to school at?
He goes to school at up in Lincoln.
Bobby's recruiting right now on the air.
Listen, man, if you can shoot it, I'm always looking for shooters, man.
Let me tell you.
I can always utilize a shooter on my team.
See, he's that kid, though, that he shoots every day. He loves the game. He's outside shooting all the time. When he goes swimming in the summertime, we got a little hoop. He just boom, boom, boom. All he wants, he'll be out there by himself for hours, just shooting, shooting, shooting. You get out in the game, he's the kid that needed. You could see the confidence begin to grow this year. He didn't, so much pressure. He's such a team guy. Plays defense, loves to distribute, but the jumper is wet. And we've seen this growth, but it needs to keep happening, which is why I think it'd be good. I got to place him out there because he needs to have that proper coach.
What team he play with?
Huh?
Who we play with?
With the school?
Oh yeah,
a little Western Sierra, a little
AAU team.
No. It's a little school team.
Oh, he just like, plays.
Yeah, he's just playing school ball. Oh. And yeah, he's not. He's not old enough to. Well, I mean, he is old enough. I'm a little.
Why are you shielding him?
Why are you holding him back?
Yeah.
You know what? We'll talk about that when we get back.
Does he want to play basketball?
He loves playing. He's a soccer.
So you got to put him in different leagues.
I agree.
AAU. You just can't keep him on the team, the small team.
I'm a little worried about AAU, though. I'm a little. AAU seems.
I mean, if you want to play, it's probably the best way to go. But put him on an AAU team that's going to allow him to grow. Just don't throw him. Because AAU now is a bunch of money grabs.
That's what I'm saying. I'm worried about that.
But there are really good programs around here.
Okay.
And again, like you said, the BJBA set.
Yep. Okay.
Bring them through. We're working out every day. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, Bobby's always coaching, always recruiting. When we get back, we'll wrap up. We got what's hot, what's not, and then we'll wrap up with Bobby. Just some final thoughts on the season. And again, how that humility he spoke about as a coach, how that humility likely helped him as a player on that Sacramento Kings team. We'll be right back after this.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Air and Solar, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
What's hot is Jason Tatum in the postseason following a loss. Not only are the Celtics 5-0 when they lose a game, the following game, Jason Tatum is putting up some big, big numbers. He's averaging 32.6 points following a loss this postseason. The most in a single postseason in Celtics history.
Mm-hmm.
Who's not? Miami Heat starters. Last night in game 4, scored 18 points. Victor Oladipo off the bench scored 23 by himself. This is the very first playoff game that an entire starting lineup was outscored by a player from its bench since starters were first being tracked in 1970-71.
Bobby, this postseason, we were talking about it earlier. It seems like every other game, like one team blows out the other team, and the other team blows out the other team. And that game last night, man, that was like mercy rule.
I don't get it. I don't like just being playoff basketball. Yeah. I don't know how teams are getting blown out. There hasn't been a close game.
Right.
And it's like that's probably the most mind-boggling thing to me, because when you envision playoff basketball.
Yeah.
The game slows down. It's more physical. There is a knockout, grinding type of game. You don't know what you're getting. The point spreads is whoever in Vegas doing the point spreads, they are way off.
I mean, it's when you – if I had told you, you and I were sitting around and I said, okay, Bobby, tell you what, I just went into the future and I saw that – Marcus Smart's not going to play for the Celtics. Jimmy Butler is going to play for the Heat. And the Celtics are going to go 8-34 from behind the arc. You'd have said, okay, Miami by 18 or something, right?
Yeah.
And Celtics blew them out by 20. It wasn't that close.
And they only scored, 108 points last night?
The Celtics?
Yeah.
102-82.
Yeah, 102. That's not a lot.
Bro. Miami had 11 points in the first quarter.
Man, I was watching them. They was the first 5 minutes. They were still stuck on 1 point.
Oh yeah, it was like 18-1.
Yeah,
which it's almost like I was telling them that's almost worse than 18-0 for some reason.
I was like, yo, like they had go, they had went 0-10 or 0-11.
Right.
I'm like, how the hell? Hey, when the iron is unkind.
Yeah, it's really unkind.
You can't do nothing about it, and that's the sucky thing about basketball. I've been there before. Yeah. But I've been there on that side of the ball where the hoop is big.
Yeah.
And as much as you're trying to make shots,
right?
When it's your night not to make them, you can't do nothing about it.
I was waiting to see how long it would take. We're 46 minutes in. Ryan and a few other people want to know, what was Bobby thinking when the courtside lady hit him with the smooch during a game? Do you remember that during the game? I know you remember the picture.
I remember the picture, but I don't remember the game.
Right?
I didn't even know what was going on.
Right.
I didn't even know people was kissing me on my face, to be honest with you, because that's just how I am. When
right.
I get in that element.
You're not thinking about it.
I'm not thinking about
Getting kissed on the head. Right.
Or a woman grabbing my face.
Right.
Like, I at that time, I didn't even know what was going on.
It's a great picture.
Yeah, it is.
Did she ever bring it to you to sign? Did you ever meet her?
Yeah, I did meet her.
Okay, I was going to say, that'd be something you want to sign and put up there.
Definitely.
2002. Was that a? I've heard that that team was a jokey, pranky, loose team. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we did a lot, man.
Yeah,
yeah, it was a lot of a lot of crazy stuff going on with us, and thank God there was no social media.
Oh my
at the time.
If TikTok. Okay, first off, if social media was around for that 2002 team, you guys would all have an extra $50 million from endorsements because that team was built for the social media world.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Oh my God.
Yes.
But some of those pranks. I mean, I've heard. Listen, I'm pretty sure 90% can't be talked about on the air. Yes. But I've heard some things.
It was crazy. My 6 years here, man.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, thank God for no social media.
Right.
Just based on because like we Vladdy was a character. Mm-hmm. Scott was a character.
Was Vladdy the biggest prankster?
Vladdy was very prankster.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Brad was a character. He was like
Brad's still a character.
He would bring ducks into the locker room and put the blood in Mike's locker.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, yeah. They had like a little squabble beef going on. Then Mike would bring his baby's daughter's diapers and put the under his car handles. I'm like, yo, what the world is like them two had so much stuff going on. It was unbelievable. Brad would go hunting every day.
Sure. Sure.
And him and Mike would do pranks to each other all the time.
Brad is an incredible. I love Brad Miller, but he's like the dude, man. Brad is living his best life.
Right.
Big old beard.
Yeah.
You know, coming
don't
to,
care.
Does not care.
Man, got the little small little girlfriend that comes to his waist.
He's showing up courtside,
double fisted. He's living his best life.
You got to stay loose on those teams, man. It's better than staying up tight, you know.
No, I think that was the one thing that allowed us to be successful was, you know, our sense of humor.
Yeah,
and we had a lot of it, you know. And it wasn't just one or two guys; it was pretty much the whole team, you know,
yeah.
Like Shades of Keon Clark or Hedo Turkoglu coming in thinking he was the black Michael Jordan of Europe. Him listening to his rap music.
Uh-huh.
Chris Webber coming in and, you know, Peja
being
quiet all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but I do remember probably the biggest guy was Scott Pollard, man. Oh.
Scott's not from Earth, though.
Nah, he was different, man.
Scott's an alien from outer space. Oh, and I say that with love.
He was different.
He still is a little different.
Oh, well, I mean, that's what the big guys, them 7-footers are. They, you know, they walk in different shoes, man.
Right.
Yeah.
I know statute of limitations. It wasn't legal back then, so I won't put you on the spot, but am I correct also in assuming on that 2002 team that in shoot-arounds and practice, maybe occasionally money changed hands?
Money changed hands a lot. Money changed hands a lot. We gambled a lot on the plane.
Yeah.
So
What was the card game? Was it Bure?
In between.
Okay. Oh.
It was in between.
Okay.
Bure wasn't, like, we played Bure, but it wasn't that popular. We played card game called In Between, and it got you in trouble a lot.
I've never even played that. Is that anything like spades or completely
different? No, just put two cards down, and whatever the next card is, you go in between it.
That's it? And that's the whole game?
You say high or low.
That's it?
That's it. And money's on the table. And then
okay, so do you happen to remember about what was per diem back then, like 100?
Yeah, about 100.
And so like long road trip, if I remember right, you get it in like an envelope at the beginning.
Yep.
So 2 week road trip, you know, you get.
Oh, that's about a thou.
Yeah. Yeah. That's card
money,
right?
Yeah. That's really good card money.
That's card money.
$20 to 100 bucks.
Yeah. Taking
that card game can get really expensive. It got me in trouble a lot.
I would think so, because that's like when they play the war. That's not long and drawn out like spades. Mm-hmm. That's boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, it's quick. So I've seen a lot of guys do a lot of crazy things on the plane.
Yeah.
I've actually seen grown men cry because they lost a lot of money.
You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah.
Now, were these debts always, these were real, right?
Like they were real debts.
You collect.
Yeah, you got to pay up.
You got to pay up.
Yeah, they know. A couple guys didn't want to pay up because they was just bad gamblers.
They just keep like a double or nothing, double or nothing. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
There's a rumor going around that there's still someone on that team, not going to say their name, that hasn't paid a debt. Then nobody can find him.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. he owe a lot of people money. Yeah, he owe me some money. I know who you're talking about. He's a bad gambler.
Yeah, bad gambler.
He got to stop gambling. He's probably gambling right now.
Now, this isn't the guy we're talking about, but I will say this. Francisco Garcia came in here once years ago. It was like his second year. And he said the one guy he hated playing with was Mike Bibby. I said, shoot around, gamble with Mike Bibby. I said, why? He goes, it's Mike cheats. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, Mike cheats. Straight up said Mike's a cheat. Any truth to that?
Man. Like, when we play, he didn't cheat.
Okay.
Yeah, but Mike gambled. But yeah. He is a big-time gambler.
He said Mike would get in it. But I think what Cisco meant, I think, was by he cheats. That I think he was saying Mike plays a lot of mind games. Situations like he's talking quite
he talks a lot of trash, man.
Yeah,
that's just Mike. And anything that's going to throw you off your game,
yeah,
he's well crafted in that scenario. He knows how to play the mind games. He knows how to talk trash.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's 8 or 9 years in the league. You come in maybe 10 years.
Sure.
You come in as a young guy, he gonna make you feel like you the lowest thing.
Yeah.
On the team. So he just knew how to play the mind games.
If I went back to 2002 in a time machine and I showed you a picture of a shirtless Mike Bibby now, would you believe me? He's grown.
Yeah.
He's like.
Yeah, I've seen him. That's my
spinach.
Guy.
Goodness.
That's my guy.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah,
he's hit the gym.
He's hit it hard.
It's almost like, you know when somebody gets like too thin and you're like, it's like when they're losing weight or something and you're like, oh, man, is everything okay? Like, there's that point where you're like, you're losing too much weight. I'm a little worried. It's like the other way. When I first saw Mike, I was like, oh, my God. Like,
you know Mike, out of anybody on our team,
yeah,
he'd be the one to do that because of how he ate,
yeah,
and how he took care of his body, you know, and how he wants to be, that's just how Mike is.
Sure.
Like, he was very strict about what he ate, mm-hmm. what he put in his body, you know.
Yeah.
He was really health conscious. Like, he would eat grilled chicken and
right.
broccoli. And I'm like, bro, what are you eating?
Right.
And at the time, he was like, man, this is how I stay in shape. I can't put all that bad stuff in my body. He thought that way as a player. So now, post-career,
yeah.
he ain't as active. I know he's taking that to a whole nother level.
Well, he had said once, asked him, he said, I've always wanted to be that way, but the coaches and the staff, they wouldn't let I'd get too heavy. I'd lose my quickness. I couldn't do that when I was playing.
Yeah, that's now him. Like, he always was muscular, strong, lived in the weight room. And, you know, I can, like I said, out of all the guys that I played with, I can see him going into bodybuilding because that's just his mindset and his makeup of his character.
Well, Bobby's going to head back out to the range at some point today and get rid of those yips he got yesterday. I want to remind you guys, Bobby Jackson Summer Grind Camp coming up June 20th through the 23rd, Sleep Train Arena, bjbasac.com as well. You can go to BJ Basketball Academy or bjbasac.com. Bobby, listen, I know you're a great guy and all, but getting up, coming down here, going to one studio, coming to the other studio, that's my
okay. I got to be at work anyway. We got workouts today, so I'm about to head downtown.
I know you feel the love.
Get to work.
I know you feel the love from everybody, but we're all very proud of you.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
That's Bobby Jackson. We will be gone. Jim Rome is next. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day. Bye-bye now.